Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Dalet. And we are beginning on the very last line of Kuf Yud Gimel Omud Beis with the words, Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We were discussing yesterday the importance of wearing clothing that is nice. So we're continuing that discussion. Minayin, we can go to the Omud Aleph. Minayin, Lishinui Begodim Minatorah. How do we know that a person should change into nice clothing for Shabbos? Where's the special idea that you should wear special clothing for Shabbos? As Rashi points out, Shehu Derech Kovod Lefnei HaMokom, it's appropriate covered for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and for the honor of Shabbos, you should wear special Shabbos clothing. So what's the source in the Torah for that? So it's an asmachta from the Pasuk, Shenemar, Ufo Shadis Begodov, Elavash Begodim Acharim. After the Kohen does the Trumas Hadeshim, which is the taking out of the heaped up ashes on the Mizbeach, and he would take them and burn them. So in that situation, it says he would afterwards take off his clothing, Ufo Shadis Begodov, and put on nicer clothing, Elavash Begodim Acharim, when he did the other Avodos. For Tundra Rishmo, in the Beis Medrash of Rishmo, they understood this as follows. Limedcha Torah derech eretz. The Torah is teaching us the proper way that a person should live his life. Begodim shabishel behen kideru l'rabo. The clothing that you go and cook the dish for your Rebbe, for your master, ayimzo behem kos l'rabo. Then when you go serve it to him, take off the dirty apron and put on nice clothing when you serve the Rebbe. In other words, you took out the Trumas Hadeshen, so that's like taking out the garbage. Chas v'shalom, I don't want to call it garbage. This is holy, holy ashes. But at the same time, it's going to get you dirty. Now you're going to go bring karbanos. You should put on new clothing, new big day kahuna. That should be nice. So there we see the idea that you should wear special nice clothing when you're doing the Avodas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, i.e. on Shabbos. Amar b'chia barabba, amar b'yochanan. A statement that Rav Chiya Bar Abba said in the name of Yochanan, "Ginayhu l'talmid chacham sheyetze b'min'olim hamituloyim lashuk." It's not nice. It's improper. It's disgusting for a talmid chacham to go out into the marketplace with his shoes having patches on them. Min'olim, his shoes mituloyim having patches on them. The Gemara says, "Vor Rabbi Achar b'chanina nofak." But the Gemara tells us, we see that one Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina, did in fact go out. It's interesting, where this Gemara is found, in the Gemara in Brachos, so it actually says over there that this was Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba himself, he was the one who made this memory that said you shouldn't go out with patches on your shoes. He himself went out with patches on his shoes. That adds even strength to the question. So Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Acha, Breder of Nachman, it depends. B'tzlai aga b'tzlai. When either Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba went out or Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina went out with patches on the shoes, it was only with one patch. That's allowed. That's not so terrible. People can, unfortunately, are poor, and they can't afford to have shoes. They put on one patch. But to put a patch on top of a patch, that already is a gnai. That's not proper for a Talmud Chacham to do. It says in the Hagos HaBach over here that the Gemara in Brachos continues with additional things. It says, V'hani mili, if you see an Osalaf in the Hagos HaBach, hani mili bepanosa. Panosa means on the top of the shoe. You shouldn't have the patch on the top of the shoe. Then we said that you shouldn't go out with a patch or a patch on top of a patch. Avo begilda, on the sole of the shoe, lesla. But that's not bad because nobody's going to see it. Again, the whole thing is a genai. It should be a disgrace for the Talmud Chacham to wear such a patch. So if the patch is noticeable, so then it's a problem. If the patch isn't noticeable, it's not a problem. There's no isser in wearing a patch. Gemara in Brachos continues and says, likewise, it's only a problem if you're going in public. But if you're wearing such a shoe in your house, also not a problem again, because nobody's going to see it in your house. But in public, it's a problem. And likewise, it says one more thing over there. It says in the summertime, when it's dry and people will be able to see your feet, your shoes, so then you can't go out with the patch. But in the wintertime, when it's muddy and the patch is going to be covered up, it's also less lumba, it's not a problem. So the Gemara in Brachos adds on a couple of things to our discussion over here. In any event, the Gemara continues and says another statement, Amar Rechia Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Another statement that he made in the Rabbi Yochanan. Kol Talmud Chacham Shenimtza Revav Al Bigdo. Chayv Misa. Rashi says, Revav is some sort of a grease, Shuman V'chelev. So if a Talmud Chacham walks outside and he has grease on his clothing, he's Chayv Misa. That's a terrible thing. Why is he Chayv Misa? Shenemar, Kol Misanai Ahavu Moves. This is a pasuk we had previously. This is a pasuk that tells us from Mishlei that all those that hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hate the Torah, they obviously love death because Eitz Chayim L'Machazikimba, it's a source of life. And therefore, if you don't love the Torah, you hate the Torah, Rechman al-Litzlan, so then you love death. So we play on the pasuk here, don't read the word Misan'ai, who hate the Torah, atikri misanai, ella, read it, masnii, that cause hatred. As Rashi says, shimimasin atzmon be'enei abrios. They make themselves look disgusting because they have grease on their clothing in the eyes of the people. And people say, abrios omrim, oy lehem lulom de Torah, shem me'usim umugunim. Look at these Talmidei Chachamim. They're disgusting. They look so schlumpedick. So Nim says, yeah, masnias haTorah. They're causing the populace, by they having grease on their clothing, they're causing the populace to hate Talmidei Chachamim. So that's how we dash in the word, and that's why it's Gilu Chayev Misa, because it's Ahavo, Ohavo, Mavis. Okay. Ravino Amar, he says that the word isn't over here, revav, grease, that any Talmidei Chachamim that has revav on his bag is Chayev Misa. Ravina had a different gear, so he said, revad itmar. Now Rashi says, revad means shichva zera. He has some semen on his clothing. And he brings down sources for this from Psukim and Mishlei. However, the Rif over here on the side of the Gemara, as well as the Ran, as well as you can see this in the Rabbeinu Chananel, on our daf, all say that this is dam yovesh, that this is dried up blood. That's what rivad means, and it comes from the lashon of rivda de kusilta. This is like the blood drawer's implement, so that's where it gets the name rivda, rivav, rivad rather, and that means a blood drawing. So it has dried up blood. So he says that if a Talmid Chacham has dried up blood, so then that is Chayev Misa if he goes out with that on his clothing. So is there a steer over here? Is there a steer between Rav Chiya Barava saying it's Revav and Ravina saying that it's Revad? So Gemara says, Lo Pligi, they actually don't argue with each other. They each agree with each other. They're just talking about different situations. Ha Beglima. The first statement that was made, Rav Chiya Barava, Amar Rav Yochanan, they said it's Greece, that's talking about Beglima. That's talking about, Rashi explains, Glima is the outer garment, Shu Elyon. So therefore, in your outer garment, having anything is disgusting because you're expected, people are going to see you in your outer garment. That's what people see. So therefore, you have to be medaktik in your outer garment a lot more and even grease on it. But that which Ravina said, Habilavusha, that's tachton, Rashi says, who tachton, and therefore, revad in, to have, according to Rashi, semen, or according to the Rif, the Ran, and the Rebbeinu Chananel, Dam Yavesh, that's only disgusting on your inner garment, but Revav, lo. But grease on your inner garment, that wouldn't be such a terrible thing, because that wouldn't really surprise people to have a little grease on your inner garment. But even blood or Zara on your inner garment, even on your inner garment, that would be terrible. Okay, so that's how Ravina and Rav Chiya Barava and Rav Yochanan aren't arguing with each other. They're talking about different circumstances. Mark continues, says another statement in the name of Rav Chiya Barava, Amar Yochanan, Ma'idasiv, what does it mean when the Pasuk tells us about Yeshaya? Hashem tells Yeshaya, Kashaholach Abdi Yeshayo, Orom V'yochef. Hashem told Yeshaya to go and get Orom, which literally means without clothing. V'yochef means without shoes. So is this possible that Yeshaya really walked around without clothing, without shoes? Obviously not. So what does the Pasuk mean? It means Orom. When Hashem told Yeshaya to go Orom, it meant bibigodim biluim, to go with worn-out garments. Biluim means that they were worn for quite a bit. They're rubbed out. They're worn out. And Yochev means barefoot, bime'olim hametulim. Doesn't mean literally barefoot. It means with patched shoes. So here we see this idea, patched shoes being something that is not at all b'chavadik. Tamar continues and says, "Not awesome. We learned in the Mishnah Nikvos, Ruvav al Hamardeya Chotzes. If you have this grease on a Mardeya, Mardeya is talking about a saddle, Rashi says, Shel Chamar, a donkey saddle. So then, Chotzes, if you have to be Tovel this, so this grease is something that you're makbid about, and therefore, if you have something that you're makbid about, so it's a chatzitza, it's an interposition between the mikvah waters and the item, and therefore, if you have Ruvav, if you have grease on the saddle, it is a chatzitza. Rashi says that this is brought down over here in Mikvos. Why are we bringing this down over here to our Gemara? Because we're going to get to it later on about the Banoyim. We'll see what the Banoyim are, and that's why this is dealing still with Derech Talmidei Chachamim, Lakbid al Mabushov, that they should be Makbid on their clothing, so that's why this is being brought down. Right now we have no idea why this is brought over here. In any event, how much grease do you have to have? Revav al Hamadeya Chotzeis, how much? So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ad ki isari talki. He says, if it's the size of an isari talki, a certain type of a coin, a well-known coin to them, so if you have grease in that size, so that's considered significant, that it will be a chatzitza. Less than that's not considered significant. Okay. Val habegodim, that's on the saddle. That's on the donkey saddle. Val habegodim, if you have grease, mitzad echod enu chotzis. If it only is on one side, it's not so much grease, so that's not going to be a chatzitza when you tovel your garments. However, Mishnei Tzadim, if it's on both sides, Rashi says, Shoya bo harbe atche nivla babeget. There's so much grease there that it's absorbed into the beget. Penira l'tzacheni, and it can be seen on the other side. That's considered significant. The person's machbit about that, and therefore it's a chatzitza. A little bit of grease, the person's not machbit on. A lot of grease that it shows through on both sides. The opinion of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is that that you're machbit on. However, Rav Yehuda omer mishum Rav Shmuel, af mitzadech chotzis. He says, no, even a little bit of grease, you're going to be machbit on your garment. So there's a machlokas over here on the garment. The opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel is that it has to go through and through. If it's only on one side, you're not machbit about it. It's not a chatzitza. And the opinion of Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Yishmal, is that even on one side, it's chatzitza. That's in regards to the garment. Gemara says, "Boy, minei Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbi Chanina, Rish Lakish." They ask from Rabbi Chanina, "What about the mardas? Mardas mitzad echad or mishnei tzadim? The mardas, you said, grease of the size of an isar italki is going to be a chatzitza." Was that that you had so much grease that it went through and through, like with the beged? Or no, by the saddle, even if it's only on one side, maybe he holds that that's a chatzitza. That was the question of Rish Lakish asked Rav Chanina. Rav Chanina says, Amalei, Zulo Shemati. I don't know the answer to that. I never heard that. However, I heard something very similar to that. Kayotzi Bo Shemati. Where did I learn something similar? It's not. I learned in the next Mishnah over there. Rav Yossi Omer, Rav Yossi says, Shel Banoyim Mitzadechot. The Banoyim, we'll explain in a moment what the Banoyim are. We'll see. The first opinion is that these are Tamidei Chachamim. So if they have grease on even one part of their garment, one side of their garment, so then that's considered a chatzitza. V'shalbur, but for an Amah Aretz, an unlearned person, Mishnei Tzadim, they don't care. Tamidei Chachamim are machbit on their clothing. Oh, that's why this Gemara is brought down over here. Tamidei Chachamim shouldn't go out with any revav, and they're machbit not to have any revav. So even one side for them is something that they're machbit on, it would be a chatzitza. But Amah Aretzim, they don't care so much about their appearance, and therefore you need to have a chatzitza. It has to go through and through on both sides. And now what's the raya to our answer? How is Rabbi Chanina answering Reish Lakish's question about the mardas? So it says, velote mardas chashuva mibidu shlam aretz. We say by an ama aretz, if it goes only on one side, it's not a chatzitza. So certainly, by the donkey saddle, we shouldn't be stricter by the donkey saddle than we are by an Amar Aretz's baggage. If the Amar Aretz's baggage needs to go through and through on both sides to be a chatzitza, so too on the donkey's saddle, it needs to go through and through in order for it to be considered a chatzitza. Now the Gemara says, my banoyim, what exactly is the banoyim? So I already explained it the way that Rabbi Chanina is using this as a proof. My banoyim, so I'm Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan says, Eilu Tamidei Chachamim. Banoim are the Tamidei Chachamim. They're builders. Banoim comes from a lashon of building. They build up the Torah. And therefore, that is the Banoim, El Tamidei Chachamim, Sha'oskim, Bibinyano, Shel Olam, Koyman. They're involved in building up the world all their lives by the learning of Torah. And that's why they have to be, that's why they're called Banoim, and that's why they're makbid over here, the Banoim, Mitzad Echad. Okay. More continues Omer Yochanan, another statement. There is a halacha of Hashavas Aveda. When you return an Aveda to somebody, they have to give you a simon. What happens if they can't give you a simon? So you normally don't give the Aveda back to them. How do you know that they're not telling you a fib? They just want to get that lost item and take it. It's not really theirs. So if you're Talmud Chacham, we have a concept called Tviyas Ayin. The Talmud Chacham doesn't have to give a specific simon. He can say, I know that that's mine. Sometimes you know something is yours, even though you can't give a specific simon on it. So a Talmud Chacham is believed with what we call Tviyas Ayin. If he says, I recognize that it's mine, even though I can't give a specific simon, so we believe the Talmud Chacham. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan says, Machzirin Lo'aveda B'Tviyas Ayin. Just by his recognition of it, saying, this is my item, we're allowed to give it back to him. So what is the definition of a Talmud Chacham? Zeha makbid al chaluko lahovcho. Somebody who's makbid on his clothing, that if it's inside out, Rashi explains, kishu hofuch makbid olav, he's makbid vahovcho, and he'll turn it right side out. Shemakbid olav shlo yiru hatfiros hamagunos, the imri achalok. Because if it's the wrong side, if it's on inside out, you can see the stitching, you can see the hem, and therefore that looks not nice, and the Talmud Chacham is machbit about his appearance. He has to be, because he doesn't want to cause people to say Tamidei Chachamim are magunim, are disgusting, disgraceful, and cause a lack of love for the Torah and for the Tamidei Chachamim. So therefore, Tamidei Chachamim are machbit. So somebody who won't wear his clothing inside out, so that person has this definition that you can give him the item based upon Tviyus HaAyin. As opposed to an Am HaAretz doesn't really care, so it's I don't look so sharp. What difference does it make? Another statement that Rav Yochanan made, well, Rav Yochanan, Ezu Talmud Chacham, another definition of Talmud Chacham, Shemadon also Parnas Alatzibur, that he should be appointed to be the head of the community. He should be the leader in the community. What's the definition of a Talmud Chacham in that regard? Says Shesholim also Dover Halacha Bechol Makom. If you ask him any halachic shayla from any place in Shas, the Yomer, and he says the answer. And this is true, Afilu b'Meseches Kala, even in one of the minor tractates. These are the Mesechtos Ktanos that you find in the back of the Gemara, in the end of after Horios, Edios, and Ovos. You have what are called the Mesechtos Ketanos. These are not studied in the Daf Yomi schedule. I don't know why, but they're not studied in the Daf Yomi schedule. And it tells us even these Mesechtos, which are normally not studied that much by even Talmidei Chachamim, so that person who wants to be a Parnes al Tzibur, he wants to be the head of the Tzibur as the Rav, so he has to know even Mesechtos Ketanos, even this Mesecht of Kala. It's called Kala because the first words of the Mesechta, it talks about Kala below Bracha, Asur lebala kenida. That's what the Mesechta starts. That is telling us that if a woman hasn't had the Brachos of the marriage, so then she's not allowed to live with her husband. She's considered like a Nida, even though they had the first stage of marriage and they didn't have the second stage of marriage. In any event, that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. You have to be, over here, a person who knows a tremendous amount of Torah that you can ask him anything, even though he's not learning it right now. Another statement that he made, Rabbi Yochanan, Ezel Talmud Chacham, Shebnei Iro Mitzuyin, Lassos, Mitzuvin Lassos, Lo Melachto. What's the definition of a Talmud Chacham? That the Tzibur has to support him. They have to do his Melacha for him, because he's busy working as a Rav, and they have to support him. Zeh Sheminiachev. So, this, the definition of somebody that you have to support is somebody that doesn't support himself. He's leaving his own needs aside, and he's running the tzibur. So he's running the minyanim, he's running the shiurim, he's running the kashrus, he's running the mikvah, he's running everything, so he has no time to make a parnasa, so then you're obligated to support him. Now, the level that you have to support him, Rashi says, is to supply him with bread. Rashi says, Dovr she'en yochel l'trochbo, he doesn't have any time to go and earn a living, so chayev tluyimbo, you have to give him the stuff that his life is needed for. But lav davka, that you have to give him other things as well. You have to give him the basics, but lav davka, that you have to supply him with other things as well. Another statement that Rav Yochanan made, Rav Yochanan, Ezel Talmud Chacham, another definition of Talmud Chacham, kosher shalom also halacha b'chol makom yomra. If you ask him a question on any subject, he can answer it. No. L'may nafkamina, what's the point of telling us this? So Gemara says, L'manuye parnas al tzibur. This person is appropriate to appoint as the head of the tzibur. However, ibuchal the mesechta basrei, if he only knows that mesechta that he's learning, that you can ask him then, basrei, then he's allowed to be appointed as a leader in that local place, as opposed to more of a chief rabbi type of a position. Ibekule, but if he knows all of Shas, Tanuye Bereish Meseft. Ibekule Tanuye, then Bereish Meseft. If he knows all of Shas, so then not only what he's learning right now, you can ask him on and he knows it well, but you can ask him on other places as well, then not only is he the local leader, but he's also going to be the Rosh Yeshiva. Now, this doesn't contradict the statements that we made previously. A lot of the Mefarshim explain why it doesn't. The simplest explanation is that he's qualifying it. He's saying, if you want to be the leader of a larger community, so then you have to have a larger base of knowledge. If you're the leader of a small shtad, of a smaller community, so then, as long as you're Talmud Chacham, that you, when you're learning something, you know it, so then you could be the leader of a smaller community. But you want to be the Rosh Yeshiva, you want to be the Rash Bahag, so then you have to know all the Shas. Now we have another statement as to what Banoyim meant. We had this opinion of Rav Yochanan that the Banoyim meant the Talmidei Chachamim. Reish Lakish says, Rav Shimon Lakish Amar, what are the Banoyim? Elu Kelim Ha'ulyarim Ha'boyim Medina Sayam. And we talked about the Banoyim. Banoyim means the bath attendants. Then it's Bnei Bani is the Lashon Rashi says. They're, the word for Banoim comes from Bnei Bani, the bathhouse attendants, and they would bring these ulyarin. Ulyarin are these very fancy cloths that they would use to dry off the chash of a people after they took the bath in the bathhouse. So these are the utensils, kelim ha'ulyarin. These are very fine garments, fancy bathrobes that they would put on to the chash of a people after they came out of the bathhouse. So there, you're giving these people these fancy garments, so if it has a little grease on it, even on one side, they're makbid. That's the banoim, a makbid to have no grease on this. You're giving this to chashev people. When they're giving it to the amaratzim don't really care. It's grease, doesn't have grease, so therefore it's only considered something to the makbid on if it goes through and through. So Gemara says that implies that these ulyarin are in fact white. Lemeimer dechivari ninu, because if we're talking about having some grease on them, even a little bit, it would ruin it, so it has to be visible. So it's going to be visible on a white background. So we're saying that these ulyarin are in fact white, but that's not true. Vamalu Rabbi Yannai Levanov, Rabbi Yannai, right before he passed away, he said to his children, he says, Bonai, my sons, Al tikbiruni, please do not bury me, lo bekelim levanim, lo bekelim shchorim. Don't put me into white shrouds, and don't put me into black shrouds. Why? Levanim, don't put me into white shrouds, because white is a sign of purity, and the people in Olam Emes, they're going to be wearing white. In Shemayim, they're going to be wearing white. And nu, Shema lo eska. Rav Yannai was worried. How much we have to worry if Rav Yannai was worried. Rav Yannai said, maybe Shema lo eska, they are kechoson ben avelim. And I'll be dressed up in all white, like a chosson is dressed up in white, and I'm going to be ben avelim. I'm going to be downstairs, not upstairs. And therefore, I'm going to look very inappropriate. So don't put me in white, because maybe I'm not going to be zolcha to be in the white section. I'm going to be in the dirty section downstairs. And therefore, I'll be amongst the avelim. And therefore, don't put me in white shrouds. No, don't put me in black shrouds either. Shchorim, if you put me in the dark shrouds, so then, Shema Eska, no, maybe I'll be able to be Zolcha to go up to Shemayim. And I'm going to be dressed in black amongst all the people that are dressed in white. And that's going to be inappropriate. So I don't want to stand out in either situation. So what did he tell his children? He said, Ella, put me in Bekelim Ulyarin. Put me into these clothings that are Ulyarin, that are colored. Habayim Medina Sayam. Alma sumke ninu. You see that they're colored. Sumke often means red, but it could also mean here just colored. So they're not white. So how can you tell me before that a little bit of grease on them is going to show up because they're white? Here you see clearly from Rav Yannai that they're not white. Gemara says, no, there's two different types of ulyarin. Lokasha. Ha beglime. When Rav Yannai said, don't put me into these colored garments, that's beglime. That's on the outer garments. Those are colored. However, the ulyarin, habulvushe, that was referring to the inner garments. That's something that was absolutely white. There was no need to make it colored. Colored implies that it's fancier. So when you're wearing it outside, so you want fancier, nice clothes. When you're wearing it inside, it's just stam. So then white is fine. So therefore, there's no steer over here. Then we go and quote the Mishnah, where we said, Rabbi Shmuel Omer Mekaplim Chule. Now we really want the end part of the Mishnah, where Rabbi Shmuel said that you're allowed to be makriv the fats that you weren't able to be makriv on Shabbos, you could be makriv them on Sunday Yom Kippur. When Yom Kippur falls out on Sunday, which again doesn't happen in our calendar, Rabbi Shmuel said you're allowed to sacrifice the fats of Shabbos on Yom Kippur, Motzei Shabbos, on Yom Kippur, because Shabbos has more Kiddushah than Yom Kippur. Now everybody agrees to that, but Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah said he didn't think it was that much of a difference. There really is no difference in terms of what you can do on Yom Kippur versus Shabbos in terms of Malacha. All the Malachos are Yisurim. There's no Heter of Ochel Nefesh on Yom Kippur. So therefore, he felt that the Kiddushah is close enough that you shouldn't be bringing the fats that you weren't able to bring on Shabbos to bring them on Matzi Shabbos, which is Yom Kippur. That was the Machlokas in our Mishnah. Now we have Tana Rabbanon. What is the source of each of their opinions? They're all going to darshan the pasuk Olas Shabbos b'Shabbato. Now the girsa that we have is Tanu Rabbanan Olas Shabbos b'Shabbato. But if you look on the bottom with the parentheses asterisk, so it brings down Tzorech Lomar b'Shabbos. There's going to be a double drash here: Shabbos Shabbato. So one is going to be inclusive and one's going to be exclusive. And the way that Rabbi Shmuel darshans is different than the way Rabbi Kiva. They each have a ribuy and a miut. They have an inclusion and an exclusion, but they're each darshaning in a different way. So first we have Rabbi Shmuel. He says, Olas Shabbos b'Shabbos. The word b'Shabbos over here is limed al chevi Shabbos she'kreivin b'yom ha'kippurim. That teaches us that you're allowed to go and bring the chalavim for the korbanos on Shabbos that you didn't get a chance to put up on the Mizbeach. They're not nosar until the next day, so you can go still put them up on Matzah Shabbos, which is Yom Kippur. The word b'Shabbos, Olas Shabbos b'Shabbos, if it just said b'Shabbato, it just said b'Shabbos, so that would teach us that if Yom Kippur is on Sunday, you're allowed to still be makir with the fats from Shabbos on Matzah Shabbos, Sunday in Halacha, which is Saturday night, you'd be allowed to do that. Oh, I might have thought then, Yochol, Av Shalei Yom Kippur b'Shabbos. I might have thought vice versa, it works out just as well. So that's why the Pasuk says, Tamaloma b'Shabbato. That's why the miut is b'Shabbato, to come to teach us that only Shabbos can be sacrificed still on Yom Kippur Sunday, but not if Yom Kippur was on Friday, you can't go and bring those korbanos from Yom Kippur and bring them on Friday night, which is Shabbos. Now, that's the opinion, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. That's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Rabbi Kiva darshins this Shabbos Shabbato in a slightly different way. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Olas Shabbos b'Shabbato. Again, on the bottom, at the parentheses asterisk, he says you should change this over here too. So this should be the word Shabbos, Ola Shabbos, B'Shabbos, the part of B'Shabbato that tells us B'Shabbos, that teaches us, Limeid, according to Rabbi Akiva, Al-Chevi Shabbos Shekraven B'Yontif. I need to know that if Yontif is on a Sunday, that's when I can still burn the fats that weren't burnt on Shabbos, on Motzei Shabbos, which is Yontif, which is Sunday, I'm allowed to do that. Now, Yochalaf B'Yom Kippur, I might have thought that if Sunday is Yom Kippur, you can still do that. No, Tamaloma B'Shabbato. That's what Rabbi Akiva says, the miut is to exclude Yom Kippur. So Sunday, Yontif, you can burn the fats of Shabbos, but not on Yom Kippur. That's the machlokis, the understanding of the machlokis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Now, Mari says, Kishatim Saloma, based upon what we just said, according to Ledivri Rabbi Shmuel, Nidorim and Nidavos, craving the Yontif, I'm allowed to bring voluntary kabanos on Yontif, according to this. Why? Because if I'm allowed to bring voluntary kabanos on Yontif, Nedarim and Nedavos, so then certainly I can go and bring the obligatory Karbanos from Shabbos on Yontif as well. And therefore, I don't need a special pasuk to tell me that, and therefore, Rabbi Shmuel has the pasuk to tell me that you can bring the fats that you didn't sacrifice on Shabbos, you can bring them on Yom Kippur, because I don't need a pasuk to tell me I can bring them on Yontif, because Yontif, I can bring you voluntary Karbanos, so certainly I can bring these obligatory Karbanos. That's Rabbi Shmuel's reasoning. The Chiyitzur is called Yom Kippur, and therefore the Pasuk B'Shabbato is coming to tell me on Yom Kippur. However, L'divrei Rabbi Akiva, who says, Nodarim Nedavos ain't craving the Yontif, you're not allowed to bring it on Yontif. Oh, so I'm not allowed to bring voluntary Karbanos on Yontif. So I might have thought I'm not allowed to bring the Shabbos Karbanos also that weren't brought on Shabbos on Yontif. Oh, that's why the Chiyitzur Krah, L'Mishra B'Yontif. I need a Pasuk to tell me that I can bring it on Yontif. But that therefore means I don't have a Pasuk to tell me that I can bring it on Yom Kippur. Mark continues and says, "Om Rav Zeir says, return to Yamud Beis. Ki Avinu B'Vavol. When I was originally learning in Babel, Rashi says, Kishalamati Torah B'Vavol, Kodim Shalis L'Eretz Yisrael. Before I went up to Eretz Yisrael, Hava Amre, I would say the following. Hod Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Yom HaKippur Shechol Yos Eretz Shabbos. When Yom Kippur falls out on Friday. Again, our calendar doesn't have this, but when they did it by Uriah, when the Edom would come and say, we saw the new moon, so it could possibly be. So, when normally, on a regular Erev Shabbos, they would blow shofar to separate the people from doing melacha. So he says, when Yom Kippur is on Friday, so then, lo yotokin, they didn't have to blow the shofar, because they were already not doing work, so there's no reason to blow the shofar and tell them not to do work. So Rashi says, sheish tekios shetokin be'Erev Shabbos, the normal six blasts that they would blow on the shofar in Erev Shabbos were done, lahavtil ulahavdil, Mishum the Yom Kippurim, Kadosh Kishabbos, also B'chol Melacha. So there was no need to do this because on a regular Erev Shabbos, they needed to separate the people from doing Melacha. But on Yom Kippur, they were already not doing Melacha. No need to blow. Likewise, with Motzei Shabbos, if Yom Kippur was on Sunday, it was on Motzei Shabbos, also Lo Yom Avdilin, they wouldn't obviously make Havdalah in the Shmoneh Esrei. We're not talking about making Havdalah because you don't make Havdalah Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to drink the wine. But even in the Shmoneh Esrei, they wouldn't say Amav being Kodesh L'Kodesh because this is something that Yom Kippur is already Kadosh, so we don't say, Amav Dibin Kodesh L'Kodesh for Yom Kippur, from Shabbos to Yom Kippur. So when Rezeira originally learned this in Babel, so he thought this was the Kuliyama. He said this is even according to the opinion of both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. However, he slicked on Lahasam, but he went up to Eretz Yisrael, so then Ashir Chesei, he found Yehuda, Bered Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, he found this Tamil Chacham Yehuda, who was the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, the Yosef Kamar, he was sitting there and learning, and he said, this is only according to Rabbi Akiva, this idea that you don't blow shofar on Erev Shabbos when it's Yom Kippur, and on Matzi Shabbos, that's Yom Kippur, you don't say Havdalah, this is only the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who cause he holds that Yom Kippur and Shabbos have the same Kiddusha, so to say, and therefore, that's why you don't make the Avdallah. B, Rabbi Shmuel, if you say it's Rabbi Shmuel, he says, no. Kivin Domar Chal V'Shabbos Kreim Yom Kippur. Since he says, if Yom Kippur is on Sunday, you can still burn the fats from the Shabbos Korbanos on Saturday night, which is Yom Kippur. So therefore, it is a lower Kedusha. So therefore, he would hold Liska. He would say that you should blow Shofar. So he would want the people to know this. So therefore, he would blow Shofar. So this was only the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Originally, Rav Zeira thought that this was the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel as well. But when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he heard Yehuda, Brei, Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi say that this is only according to Rabbi Akiva, but Rabbi Shmuel would in fact say you should blow shofar. However, Rav Zeira wasn't happy with this. V'aminalei anot, and I said to him, no, I disagree with you. Why are you blowing shofar over here? Who's burning these sacrificial fats? Only the Kohanim do this. It's an avoda. Kohanim's reason, hey, we don't need to blow shofar for the Kohanim. They know their job, and there's no reason over here to go and blow shofar. So Rashi says, Bekiyanheim bakol. They know. And even if one doesn't know, the multitude of the Kohanim, they will make sure that everything gets done properly. They don't need something over here to tell us that you are allowed to burn the fats. Amar says, wait a second. Makishisha was the son of Rechisla, said to Ravashi, who says, me, I'm reading the Kohanim's reason name? Whoa, do we never make any blowing of shofar for the Kohanim? They're so careful, but none. But we learned in Mishnah and Sukkah, now the Mishnah and Sukkah talks about how many times they would blow the shofar. It would blow sometimes 21 blasts, sometimes up to 48 blasts. Different days would have different numbers of blasts, depending on their voters that were done. So it says that on Erev Shabbos, in addition to the regular 21 blasts that they blew every day, they blew an extra 6 blasts, again, to separate the people from Melacha. Now, 3 of them, Shalosh, Lahav Tilasom Melacha, 3 of them was to tell the people to stop working, and Shalosh, Lahav Demin Kosh L'chol, and 3, to remind everybody you're going from a regular weekday Friday to Kodesh, Lahav Demin Kosh L'chol. So therefore, who is this being blown to the Mikdash? Isn't it being blown for the Kohanim? So how can you tell me the Kohanim is reason? Oh, they know when Shabbos is. You see that they blew. So Gemara says, no. Kedam Abaye. Abaye already answered this in another regard. Lishar Amo de Yerushalayim. And he said, in other places, they would blow for the rest of the people in Yerushalayim, not for the Kohanim. What is this talking about? So Rashi brings down in the Gemara in Yuma, it says that there was an Evreshes, there was a shiny platform that they had in the Beis HaMikdash, that when the sun rose to a certain point, everybody knew that the sun had risen, and that was the sun's time to say Kriyashma. But this was for the people, because the Kohanim said Kriyashma at an earlier point of time, because they were busy doing the Avoda. So therefore, this Nivreshes in the Beis HaMikdash was for the plain people, not for the Kohanim. That's what Abaye said over there. So Hochanami, Lishar Amad Yerushalayim, when they're blowing the shofar now, it wasn't for the Kohanim. The Kohanim's reason came, like Rav Zeira said. And therefore, why are they blowing shofar in the Beis HaMikdash? It was for the other people. Hochanami, Lishar Amad Yerushalayim. And therefore, Rav Zeira's teretz is still a good teretz. Gemara says, wait a second. You're telling me that we don't blow shofar when Yom Kippur's on Friday because you're already not doing work. But there are certain leniencies that are applicable on Friday Yom Kippur that aren't applicable on Shabbos. So why don't we blow for those? The liska, you should blow shofar ki hechi delay day dishare b'knivas yarek. Why don't we blow shofar on Yom Kippur that's on Friday afternoon? Friday. And now on Friday afternoon, minhamin chalamala, here we're referring to Mincha Kitana, which is 2.5 hours before the Shkia. So there's a special heter that you're allowed to normally not cut vegetables on Yom Kippur, because you're not allowed to do food preparations on Yom Kippur. So be preparing for after Yom Kippur. But there's a special heter that in the afternoon, after Mincha Kitana, you're allowed to go and cut up these vegetables. Now, what does it mean cutting them up? You're not being tolish them from the ground. That would be an Issa Daraisa. You can't uproot them from the ground, but they're already uprooted from the ground before Yom Kippur. And now you're preparing them for your Matzei Yom Kippur meal. So you're allowed to go and cut up these vegetables, to cut off some of the not-so-savory leaves and the dirty parts, and you're allowed to go cut it up so it'll be all ready to eat on Matzei Yom Kippur. That's in a regular year. So, you're not allowed to cook them on Yom Kippur, but you'll have to prepare them so they'll be ready. Rashi explains that the reason for this, why did the rabbis allow this, is because this actually adds to your inner nefesh, because you're going to savor, your mouth is going to water when you're cutting up these vegetables, because you're hungry. It's the end of the day, so they're not concerned that you're going to eat, because it's almost the end of the day. Earlier in the day, before Mincha Ketana, there was a concern that you may come to eat. So here, at the end of the day, where there's only a short time left, they weren't concerned you'd come to eat it, and therefore, they added to the inner nefesh to have this vegetable in front of you that you couldn't eat, but you're cutting it up. So therefore, the rabbis allowed it. So why don't, when Yom Kippur comes out on Friday, so we should blow a shofar to let people know at the mincha time that now you can now blow, when they blow the shofar, from now on, you can go cut up the vegetables. You can do knivas yarek. So why don't they do that? There's a difference between before mincha and after mincha, so they should blow the shofar. So I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, no. We don't go and do something that is a shvus, a rabbinical prohibition. Blowing shofar is a chachma, so we don't allow that to be done for the benefit of a heter, to tell people you can now do something. To prevent it from doing an issa, we would blow the shofar. But to say you can now do a heter of cutting up the vegetables, now it's mincha ulamala, so now you can go cut up the vegetables, they're not going to go and blow shofar to tell people to do that. That's Rav Yosef's teretz. This is going to be the teretz that the Gemara ultimately accepts. This is teretz number 1. we're getting a second teretz that the Gemara is ultimately going to reject. When the rabbis permitted you to blow shofar, even for a dvar heter, they allowed you to blow shofar to announce a heter, that's only if it's a heter krova. So in every other year, not when Yom Kippur is on a Friday, when Yom Kippur is on a Tuesday, when Yom Kippur is on a Wednesday. So then they blew the shofar, they would announce to people, now you can start go and doing the knivas yerek. It's minchul amala. So you'll be ready for Matzah Yom Kippur when you'll cook the vegetables. So you'll cook the vegetables over here, and now you can start preparing for that cooking that's coming later on. But when Yom Kippur is on a Friday, it doesn't do any benefit for you. You can't cook it on Shabbos anyway. So there's no benefit in doing the Knivas Yerek. So therefore, the rabbis did not permit it. Therefore, Shvus Rechoka Lo Hitiru. That's why it would only be good for the following years, for a different year, but not for this year. So that's Rav Shesha Barei de Ravidi's second teretz. Now, some of the Mefarshim explain, not like Rashi. Rashi said that the Inu Nefesh over here is what was allowed. Others explain that this you shouldn't have additional Inu Nefesh afterwards, that you shouldn't have the extra 5 or 10 minutes that it takes you to prepare the vegetables. That should extend your Yom Kippur fast, so therefore they allowed you to go and do this. That's why the Knivas Yerek is allowed for Minchul Amala. In any event, the Gemara questions Rav Shisha Barei de Ravidi's teretz. It says, Ushus Krovi Tiru, did the rabbis really permit you, if it's something they would let you blow shofar, for the permissibility to do something? So the Gemara says, what not? We learned in the Mishnah Chulin, the Mishnah tells us there, Yom Tov Shechol Yosei Shabbos, when Yom Tov is on Friday. So Tokin, we blow shofar, because until now they were allowed to do Ochel Nefesh, Velo Mavdila, but we don't make Havdalah, because we're going to a higher level of Kedusha, and we don't make Havdalah, we're going from a lower level of Kedusha to a higher level of Kedusha. On Matzi Shabbos, however, if Yontif falls out on a Sunday, so then Mavdilin, since we're going from Shabbos to Yontif, higher level Kedusha to a lower level Kedusha, so we say, Hamavdim in Kodesh L'Kodesh, however, V'lo Tokin, but we don't go and blow shofar. Now, why don't we go blow shofar of Amai? Until now, you weren't allowed to shout, but now you're allowed to shout. So Liska, we should say you should blow the shofar. The people should know that from now on, now, as soon as we blow the shofar, you can go and get the animal ready for shechita, because it's now Motzi Shabbos, and on Yom Tov, Motzi Shabbos, you're allowed to go and shecht. So why don't we do this if Rav Shisha Barei de Ravidi's teretz is in fact correct? So why don't we allow this? So the Gemara answers, Taka, you're right. Elamach Vartok, Rav Yosef. Only the first teretz of Rav Yosef gave us is right. We slugged up Rav Shisha Barei de Ravidi's teretz, because as you can see here, this would be a case that we would theoretically do it lahatir immediately for krova, for right away, and yet we don't allow it. So therefore, the bottom line is, we won't let you do a shvuz of blowing the shofar to be matir something, to announce that we're matir something. Now you can go do shechita. Now you can go do kniva sayarek. So that we won't do. And that's the teretz of Rav Yosef. Gemara continues. Amar Zera, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Zera said, "Name Rav Huna." All the same, Amar Law, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna. It was Rav Abba said, "Name Rav Huna." Yom Kippur and Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. When Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, until now we're talking about on Friday or on Sunday. Now, what about when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos? Also, be Knivas Yerek. Now you can't do the Knivas Yerek. Now on Shabbos, you're never allowed to do Knivas Yerek because you'd be preparing on Shabbos for Sunday. That you're not allowed to do. Of course, for Shabbos, if it's not an Isser, so then you'd be allowed to do it for Shabbos itself. But here we're talking about that you're doing preparing on Shabbos for Sunday, so that's not allowed to be done. So he's saying that even when it's Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos, you're still not allowed to do Knivas Yerek. The Shabbos, so to say, outweighs the Heter that we normally would allow on Yom Kippur. That's what they said in the name of Rav Huna. Amar Rav Mana, Rav Mana says, Taka, Rav Huna is right. Tana, we have a brisa in support of what he said. How do we know that when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos that you're not allowed to do this Knivas Yerek? Here's a brisa in support of the Amora Rav Huna, because the pasuk says, Talmud Lomar, Shabbos Son. That teaches us, Shvus, that you have to rest. Therefore, you're not allowed to go cut the vegetables on Shabbos, even if it's Yom Kippur. Even though normally you would have the heter on Yom Kippur, but not when it falls out on Shabbos. Where it says, Lamai. Now, what type of Shabbason are we talking about here, the Shvus? This is the proof, that the final proof that I already said. Here's the proof to it. Ilei Mulacha, if you're telling me that you're not allowed to go and cut it from the ground, it was attached to the ground, it was mechubar, and you're not allowed to detach it, so that I already know. Of course I'm not allowed to do that. El Alav, it must be talking about something that would otherwise be permissible. El Alav Aknivas Yerek. So therefore, Shmamina, that no, you're not allowed to do this. Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. The prohibition of Shabbos preparing for the next day applies even if it's Shabbos Yom Kippur. Now, that's the opinion of Rav Huna. Rav Yochanan disagrees. Amar Ruchia Bar Abba, another statement that we have, Ruchia Bar Abba in the name of Rav Yochanan, He says the exact opposite. Yom Kippur and Shchol Yos B'Shabbos, when Yom Kippur falls on a Shabbos, Mutter B'Knivas Yerek. Even though on a regular Shabbos you're not, here you have the special dispensation when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos and you can't do the Knivas Yerek. Where it says, wait a second, we just had this brisa that we brought down in support of Rav Huna, so this brisa is going to be against Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan is an Amora. How can you argue with the brisa? Meisvei, this brisa we just brought down, how do we know that when your kippah falls out on Shabbos, you're not allowed to go cut the Yerek? It said, Beferish, Tamaloma, Shabbason. Shuas. And again, what Shuas is talking about? If we're talking about it was attached to the ground and you're not allowed to cut it off, Foksib, we already said, Lo Sase, Kol Malacha. You're not allowed to do any Malacha. So obviously that's not what it's talking about. Elolav b'knivas yerek. Aren't we talking about knivas yerek? And therefore, a raya to Rav Huna, and again a kasha on Rav Yochanan. Shmuel says no. In fact, this drasha that you just made is wrong. The simple understanding of this drasha is as follows: Lo liolam l'mlocha. In fact, the Brisa says Shabbason. It comes to teach me you're not allowed to do melacha. You're not allowed to detach it from the ground. Ah, you already taught me that. It says lo sasa kol melacha. The lab or leb, I say, this is coming to add Shabbason, is that you have to keep it holy. That's adding an assay on top of the lo sase of lo sase chol melacha. That's a simple way to understand this. There are many other ways to understand this, but we'll go weiter. The Gemara says, now we have a brice in support of Rav Yochanan's position. Tanya, Kavosi, Rav Yochanan. We have a brice in support of Rav Yochanan. Brice says, Beferi, Shom b'kipur shchol yos b'shabbos. When your kippah falls out on Shabbos, it says, Mutter b'knivas yerek. You're allowed to go and do the chopping of these vegetables. The Marshal says we delete the parentheses words from Rechia Barav or Rav Yochanan Yom Kippurim Shechol Yos Bechol on a weekday, because he says no, this is still on Shabbos. So the Marshal deletes this and he says likewise when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, you're also allowed to do Mefatzin Vegozim. You're allowed to break open the walnuts, Mefachazim Birimonim, and you're allowed to go and open up the pomegranates. And when you're allowed to do this, minamin cholamala, you're allowed to do this. Dafka Rashi says minamin cholamala. Why? Shu shoefu mitzapel yetsachile. Can't wait to eat at this point in time. Vika agmas nefesh tveis. Where it says mipnei agmas nefesh, because it's going to increase your inoy nefesh, and therefore you're allowed to do this. Now on the side it says pirush lo yitorach motzei ayom bekniva v'tei nafsho aguma olav. Here we have the second teretz that we don't want you to have to wait that long after Yom Kippur to eat. And that's the second reason, different than what Rashi says. So this is the brisa in support of Rav Yochanan. What was the common practice that people did? In Devei Rav Yehuda, in the house of Rav Yehuda, Mekan Vekrova, they would go and chop up or cut up the cabbage, the krov. They would do this in the afternoon of Yom Kippur. They would do it originally in a mincha l'mala. Likewise, Devei Rabba, in the house of Rabba, guard the carpet. They would cut up the pumpkins on Yom Kippur mincha l'mala. However, Rabbah then saw, given the chaz of the Habu Kumacharfi, he saw that they were starting to do it to Macharfi. Macharfi means earlier. They were starting to do it well before. Rashi says, Makdimin lifnei hamincha, the hashto la gab misnefeshu. They did it well before the mincha. At that point today, you're not so starved and you're not going to be made have real inui nefesh by working on food. In the morning, you're not so hungry. So therefore, it's not going to be such akibas nefesh. That's the way Rashi understands this. And therefore, Rabbah saw they were doing it too early, and that's not allowed. So he told them, Asa igrita min maraba mishmei de Rav Yochanan. A letter came from Eretz Yisrael, the name of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan, of course, was in Eretz Yisrael. The Asir, he changed his opinion, and he said, you're not allowed to do this. Now, a letter really didn't come from Eretz Yisrael. But Rabba said this, Rashi says, ki hechi l'kablu mine, since it was already established in the name of Rav Yochanan that you could do this, so he had to tell them that Rav Yochanan wouldn't allow this anymore. Now, how is he allowed to say this? So the Mepharshim bring down many different terutzim. The simplest terutz is that Rabbah was a Talmud of Rav Yochanan, and he knew what his Rebbe's opinion was, and he knew that his Rebbe, in this situation, would say that you're no longer allowed to do this, so therefore he felt very comfortable stating what his Rebbe would hold. The person really is a Talmud of somebody, so then everything they have is really from that Rebbe, and therefore he's allowed to state something in the Rebbe's name. There are other terutzim as well, but we'll stop over here. Hadron Alecha Ve'eluk Sharm, Hadron Alecha Ve'eluk Sharm, Hadron Alecha Ve'eluk Sharm. This concludes the 15th Perek and today's Shir.